Anyway, it's good to be here with everybody with our nightly Bhagavad Gita study. Tonight we're going to do something a little bit different as far as the study is concerned because we're in a rather philosophical chapter, extremely philosophical chapter. We're going to be asking questions of all of you to see if you understand the different terminology in these verses. And you better pay attention because I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to be asking questions of. And it'll be very embarrassing if you can't answer the question. So this is going to have to be a really attentive class. And then I will allow whoever I'm going to ask a question of to unmute themselves. So because there's a lot of terminology that, you know, people are going to start to forget. Like Kshetra, Kshetragyak, Kshetragyap, etc., which you probably don't remember right now, but you're going to have to remember. Otherwise, I'll probably lose my whole audience today after I start asking questions of everybody and traumatizing everybody. Okay. So, that's right. I had the wrong camera on. No wonder I don't look normal. Oh, I see. Hold on a second. I didn't plug my regular camera in. Hold on a second. Yeah, that's my regular microphone is not being used. Now it is. And now my regular camera is being used. Okay, I look normal now. So, yeah, I was wondering what was happening. Yep. Okay. So, of course, we're going to chant Jai Radha Madhava first, and then after that, we'll get into the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It's rather philosophical. I mean, the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is philosophical, too, but there's so much bhakti there, it's very easy to remember everything. You know, Krishna says in the 12th chapter, just think of me, you can't do that, and follow bhakti yoga, if you can't do that, offer your results, your activities. You know, very simple stuff. The 13th chapter gets into a lot of depth of philosophy and different terminology. So I want to make sure everybody, or maybe I'll ask for volunteers. I won't traumatize everybody tonight. So first we'll chant Jai Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana malaba giribaradhati. Gopi jana malaba giribaradhati. Yashoda nandana vraja jana ranjana. Yashoda nandana vraja jana ranjana. Yamuna tira Manachari, Yamuna Tira, Manachari, Jaya Radha Madhuva, Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhuva, Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha, Giri Padhadi. Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Padhadi. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Balachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvati. Charya, also Tata, Satishi Shima, His Divine Grace of Ayacharana, Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Maharishila Prabhupada Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrind Kijai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Paren Sekho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Pararabhunichananda Shidwaita Gadadha, Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Kijai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopinath Shyamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai Sanadi Bhakta Vrind Kijai Gaur Pridhananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari. Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Budhle, Shri Madhi Bhakta Vedanta Swami, Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gaurani Pajani, Nivishesha Shunyabadi, Paschacha, Deja Tarni. So, Om Gadad, Tamananda Shah, Gananjana, Shilakaya, Chakshur, and Miditam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torch light of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So tomorrow is Radhastami for those of us in the United States. And actually it's also Radhastami for those of you in Fiji and New Zealand and Australia, but tomorrow is a different tomorrow for all of you. For all of you, it's the 26th. For us, tomorrow is the 25th. So I'll be discussing at the end of this class the plans for Radhastami and the plans for the day after Radhastami, or the plans for Radhastami when those of you who are in Fiji, Australia, New Zealand are taking initiation or plan on taking initiation. Of course, we're going to be doing a lot of internet initiations on that day, simultaneous to New Zealand, Australia, and America. Okay, so it's going to be the first three continental initiation program that I've ever done. Anyway, so now we're going to get going with the Bhagavad Gita. And what I'm going to do to shock all of you is to ask questions based upon some of the terminology that we heard yesterday. So I'm not even going to give you a chance. If you have a Bhagavad Gita, you can actually check it out. So anyway, I'm going to share my screen. Whoops. Okay, let me turn that off. So off it goes. Okay, so let me share my screen. Whoops, let's see, where is that? There it is. So we're on text 4, and some of the terminology in text 4 was covered yesterday. In fact, it all was. So here we go. I'm going to read the text, and then before we go to the word-by-word synonyms, which I'm not going to show you right now, I am going to ask some of you about the terminology. Let me just put on my, want to see the chat window, and I will put the chat, well, not the chat window, that's not the window I want. I want the participant window. Okay, put that to the side. Okay, so text 4 is tak cha chetram yascha yadrcha yadvikari tascha yat satcha yo yat prabhavas cha tat samha sena me shrinu. So the first question I have for all of you, what is, according to this chapter, a kshetra? Does anyone want to answer? Raise your hand if you want it. Of course, you may not know how to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand in your picture because I'm not looking at your pictures. If you go into the participant window. Maybe you don't know how to do it. Anyway, I'll just call on you because you probably don't know how to do it. So, oh, Sumuka. Okay, Sumuka, you are now officially allowed to unmute yourself. Unmute yourself. So, what does Kshetra mean?
Kshetra means the field, Gurudev.
Whoop, can't hear you. Hold on a second. This is, it's my fault. Let me adjust this. Hold on a second.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
I can hear you now. Yeah, okay. I hear you now. So what does the word Kshetra mean?
It means the field, Gurudev.
Yes, it means field, but particularly in this verse, in this chapter, what type of field?
I don't know, Gurudev.
Okay. No, you made a good, you did a good job on that, so. Let's see. All right, Radha Padma, she's the next one. She raised her hand. You got to unmute. I just gave you permission to unmute.
Thank you, Gurudev. Hare Krishna. The field is the body.
Very good. The field is the body. Okay. And so, okay, let me mute you again. Or you muted yourself. Oh, no, not yet. I'll mute you. So who knows? Who is the knower of the, who is Kshetragya, the knower of the body? There's two answers to this. Oh, okay. Let's, Swapna answer this question. Okay, you can unmute yourself. Swapna. Swapna, you can, yeah.
Hare Krishna Gurudev. The knower is ourselves and Krishna.
Very good. Very good. I'm happy to hear that you knew that. Okay, I think that's all the questions for this verse. So remember, everybody should remember that. Kshetra means a field, but in this particular chapter, the field is the body. And Krishna is the knower of all the bodies, and we only know our body. Okay, let's go ahead. So, word by word synonyms, tat, kshetram, field of activities, yat, what, cha, also, yadrik, as it is, cha, also, yat, having what, ikari, changes, yataha, from which, cha, also, yat, what, sa, he, cha, also, ya, who, yat, having what, prabhavaha, influence, cha, also, tat, that, samasena, in summary, may, for me, Shrinu, understand. So, this is a pretty easy verse to understand. Now, please hear my brief description of this field of activities and how it is constituted. In other words, the body, what its changes are, whence it is produced. In other words, how it is produced and when it is produced. And who that knower the field of activities is and what his influences are. So, there's an interesting word in this verse, which you see right here, which is vikara. That means changes. So the body is constantly changing. Like Prabhupada would talk about how, well, Krishna talks about how komaram yavadam jara, that we are changing our bodies from babyhood bodies to youthful bodies to medium age bodies to old bodies, and then we leave our bodies. So there's a vikara. And so the difference is that Krishna does not undergo vikara, vikari changes, whereas we, our body undergoes changes, our soul doesn't undergo changes. Very interesting. Purport, the Lord is describing the field of activities and the knower of the field of activities and their constitutional positions. One has to know how this body is constituted, the materials of which this body is made, under whose control this body is working, and how the changes are taking place, where from the changes are coming, what the causes are, what the reasons are, what the ultimate goal of the individual soul is, and what the actual form of the individual soul is. That's quite a bit of information. One should also know the distinction between the individual living soul and the super soul, their different influences, their potentials, etc. One has to understand this Bhagavad Gita directly from the description given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all this will be clarified. But one should be careful not to consider the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everybody to be one with the individual soul, the jiva. This is something like equating the potent with the impotent. So, of course, that we find in the Upanishads, the description is that this body is like a tree, and this tree has two birds. One bird is eating the fruits of the tree, and the other bird is watching. The bird is watching is the super soul. The bird is eating the fruits is actually us. See, a question I can ask now. Okay, here's just what a very simple question I'm going to ask right now. Who knows? Okay. Who knows what vikari or vikara means? Okay, Radhapadma, you can answer right now. What does vikara mean?
Changes, Gurudev.
Changes. And what change? I'm asking you this. I'm going to ask this question of you too. What changes and what does not change?
The body changes from from childhood to youth to old age and dies, right. But soul does not change.
And what else doesn't change?
Our constitutional position does not change.
Yeah, and who else doesn't change?
Krishna does not change.
Is that Krishna Kanta giving you all the answers? Yes. Okay, so, all right. So you're on mute again. And I'll lower your hand for you. It's nice. Nice to be able to control these things. It's nice having a classroom where you can just control people and just they can't speak out of turn. I think I'll become a teacher. So next text is text 5. Rishibir Bahuda Gitam Chando Bir Vividai Pratak Rama Sutra Padais Jaiva Etumad Bir Vinishitahai. Rishibir by the wise sages, Bahuda in many ways, Gitam described Chando Bihi by Vedic hymns, Vividahai various Pratak variously, Rama Sutra of the Vedanta, Padai by the aphorisms. Cha also Ava certainly, Hetu Madbihi, with cause and effect, Vinishchitahai, certainly. So, translation. That knowledge of the field of activities and the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially presented in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. Very interesting. Okay, we're gonna have to ask this question of someone who's a real sadhu. Let's see, who's a real sadhu there? Okay, Adi Purusha, this is your question. What is it called in the Vedic tradition when you use reasoning as, which one of the darshans is it when you use reasoning as to cause and effect?
Nyaya.
That's right, nyaya. Nyaya means logic and reasoning, you know, cause and effect, and of course, different syllogisms. I'm not going to go into exactly what that is. That's one of the six Vedic darshans. Vedic darshans means the six Vedic processes for advancement of human civilization. There's nyaya. Nyaya means like logic and reasoning. Of course, there's yoga, which I'm sure you all love. There is the Karma Mimamsa, and there's the Uttari Mimamsa, and there's Sankhya and Vaisheshika. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. There's Sankhya means to count. We talked about that in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Vaisheshika means like an atomism, and Karma Mimamsa basically means to think that everything is caused by karma. And really, there's no person behind everything. And even if there was, you would be controlled by everything, by your karma. And Uttara Mimamsa is basically the transcendental understanding of Vedic literature, both personalism and impersonalism. You don't have to remember all that. because we did talk about it before. So purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the highest authority in explaining this knowledge. Still, as a matter of course, learned scholars and standard authorities always give evidence from previous authorities. Krishna is explaining this most controversial point regarding the duality and non-duality of the soul and the super soul by referring to a scripture, Vedanta, which is accepted as authority. So let me explain what the word Vedanta means. The word Vedanta means the conclusion, actually end, but the conclusion of knowledge, the essence of knowledge. And we mentioned this, I think, many times before, that this, when you say the word Vedanta, you're referring to the Vedanta Sutra, which is a treatise on spirituality written in short codes, not Morse code or anything like that, but short codes, because it's written for more intelligent people who will understand these short statements. And the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, well, first of all, the Vedanta Sutra is a commentary on the Upanishads. The Upanishads is a commentary on the original Vedas. And the Vedanta Sutra has its own commentary. For us, it's Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhavadeva Vidyabhushana's commentary, which is called Govinda Bhash. But every sampradaya has a commentary on the Vedanta. First, he says, this is in accordance to difference, according to different sages. As far as the sages are concerned, besides himself, Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra, himself, Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra, is the great sage. And in the Vedanta Sutra, duality is perfectly explained. And Vyasadeva's father, Parashara, is also a great sage. And he writes in his books of religiosity, Aham Tvam Cha Tathanye. We, you, I, and various other living entities are all transcendental, although in material bodies. Now we are fallen into the ways of the three modes of material nature according to our different karma. Here karma is used as sort of the reaction to certain activities that we perform in this world. As such, some are on a higher level and some are in the lower nature. The higher and lower natures exist due to ignorance and are being manifest in an infinite number of living entities. Well, but the super soul, which is infallible, that's Krishna, is uncontaminated by the three qualities of nature. It is transcendental. Similarly, in the original Vedas, a distinction between the soul, the super soul, and the body is made, especially in the Katha Upanishad. There are many great sages who have explained this, and Parashara is considered principal among them. Here's another question. Actually, we'll go slower, but I guess it's nice to ask questions. What is the name of the commentary that we generally use on the Vedanta Sutra that we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas generally use almost on a daily basis? Anybody raise their hands? Hey, was anyone listening? Oh my God. What is the name of the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra that we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas use or should use on a daily basis or consult with on a daily basis? Sumukha, okay, you are officially allowed to unmute yourself. Do it.
Hare Krishna?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva.
No, that's our philosophy, but what's the name of the commentary? Okay, let me ask Champakalata. What is the name of the commentary that we're supposed to consult on a daily basis, Champakalata?
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Srimad Bhagavatam. That was an easy question. Boy, it's really good I'm asking these questions because basically it's showing that we have to listen better. Okay. Okay, so remember, listen, the word Chandobihi refers to the various Vedic literatures. The Taittiriya Upanishad, for example, which is a branch of the Yajurveda. I'm not going to ask you these sort of things. You know, what's a branch of the Yajurveda? Don't worry. Describes nature, the living entity, and the Supreme Personality. Got it. As stated before, Kshetra is the field of activities, and there are two kinds of Kshetra, Gyas, that means the knowers, the individual living entity and the supreme living entity, that means God in us. As stated in the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.9, Brahma Pucham Pratishta, There's a manifestation of the Supreme Lord's energy known as Anamaya, dependence upon food for existence. This is a materialistic realization of the Supreme. Then in Pranamaya, after realizing the Supreme Absolute Truth, in food, one could realize the Supreme Absolute Truth in living symptoms or life forms. In Gyanamaya, realization extends beyond the living symptoms to the point of thinking, feeling, willing. Then there's Brahman realization called Vijnana Maya, in which the living entity's mind and life symptoms are distinguished from the living entity himself. The next and supreme stage of realization, next and supreme stage is called Anandamaya, realization of the all blissful nature. Okay, here's more questions for you all. What is it called when you realize the supreme or realized nature in terms of food? Radhapama, you're getting all these questions today. All right. What is it called? You got to unmute yourself.
Gurudev, it is Annamaya.
Okay. And we'll let someone else answer this. What is it called when you realize the supreme in terms of bodily feelings? Uh-oh. Champaga, all right. What is it?
Pranamaya. Pranamaya.
Okay. Actually, it's up there on the screen. I'm thinking anybody's cheating. That's very good. But anyway, you can see the different things. And what's the next type of realization, and what does it mean? What's the meaning of it after pranamaya? Radhapadma, okay, Radhapadma, what do you have to say? Your hand is still up.
Gurudev, Gyanamaya, and this is the realization where it goes beyond the living symptoms of to the point right. of thinking, feeling, and willing.
Well, you realize it's it's in the mind, basically. And then yes. one is interested in liberation and comes to the point of understanding they're not the body. So what's the next one is called Vijnanamaya. What is Vijnanamaya? I put you on mute. Anyone know what Vijnanamaya is? All right, let me just review. Oh, Shruti Priya, you want to ask. Okay, what is Vijnanamaya?
It's where the the mind and life symptoms are separated from like the bodily activity.
Yeah.
To the point of thinking.
Vijnanamaya. It's Vijnanamaya. And that's realization. And what is the realization where one experiences ultimate bliss?
Anandamaya.
Anandamaya, very good. Okay, you're a scholar. Very good. Okay, let's go ahead. And actually, it was all in this next purport too, part of the purport. To enjoy the Supreme Personality of God, it is by nature full of joy. To enjoy his transcendental bliss, he expands into Vijnanamaya, Pranamaya, Gyanamaya, and Anamaya. Actually, it should also be Anandamaya. Oh, yeah, Anamaya. In the field of activities, the living entity is considered to be the enjoyer, and the different from him is the Anandamaya. That means if the living entity decides to enjoy in dovetailing himself with the Anandamaya, that's Krishna, he becomes perfect. This is the real picture of the Supreme Lord as the supreme knower of the field, the living entity as the subordinate knower, and the nature of the field of activities. One has to search for this truth in the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra, which is the same book. And the statement is Anandamaya Vyasat. It is our nature to be happy. And as it was mentioned, I think this morning in class, that Krishna wants us to be happy. It pleases Krishna to see us being happy. It is mentioned here that the codes of the Brahma Sutra are very nicely arranged according to cause and effect. Some of the sutras or aphorisms are Na vidyad ashutahe 232, natma shutahe 2318, and paratu tatshutahe 2340. The first aphorism indicates the field of activities, the second indicates the living entity, and the third indicates the Supreme Lord, the summum bonum among all the manifestations of various entities. So sometimes these different stages are listed as stages of self-realization, or even stages of maturity of a person. Like when one is just a little kid, one's consciousness is simply on the anamoya or pranamoya platform. Then later on, and wasn't even mentioned here, there's this thing called the manamoya, the mental platform. That's not mentioned here, but it's mentioned elsewhere. And then after that, just mental platform. And that's most of us in this mature world. And actually most of the people nowadays are simply on the pranamoya and anamoya platform. But if you're a little more advanced, as you grow older, you get on the manamoya, and then after that, the jnanamoya, then vijnanamoya platform, like that. And then finally, the anandamoya platform. So these are described as different platforms or stages of the living entity's development of consciousness. Now you'll find animals primarily, or pretty much 100%, pretty close, they're on the anamoya or pranamoya platform. Whereas human beings can hopefully get to a little higher platform. Yeah, animals can also get to a little bit of the manamoya platform, but basically it's anamoya and pranamoya. Food, protection, warmth and things like that. That's, of course, food is anamoya, and protection and warmth, that's also pranamoya. But just like when a little kitten comes and rubs against you, that's pranamoya. And you, let's say you pick up the kitten, sorry about this, and you experience the nice fur. Just like yesterday, I picked up a little kitten and it was soft fur. And inside his body, there was this soft purring of satisfaction. So I understood that he was on the pranamoya platform because I had just fed him, and that previously was on the anamoya platform. And I was very much into feeling the nice, soft body of the cat. And that's also pranamoya platform. Anyway, apart from that. So I think that gives a good explanation of what pranamoya and anamoya is. When you're really absorbed in food, that's anamoya. Your consciousness is simply on the anamoya platform. And when you're enjoying just feeling some sensations in the body, just like if someone goes hang gliding, for example, which I wanted to do for a long time, but I'm not going to do. So if someone goes hang gliding and they have the sensation of what? The wind rushing around them and the ground coming up closer, or them flying off into the gusts of wind and enjoying all these physical sensations. That's all pranamoya. Got it? So, I mean, we all have aspects of our existence that are pretty much pranamoya and anamoya, and quite a bit on manomaya, the mind. And some on jnanamoya, trying to understand different knowledge. Vijnana, trying to realize it, practice that knowledge. And a little bit of anandamoya, especially when we go to Mangalarti and we get off the bodily platform by dancing. Now that dancing, the symptoms or the feelings you get when dancing for Krishna, that is not pranamoya. That's anandamoya. Even though it may seem like it's pranamoya, but it's anandamoya because you're dancing for Krishna and you're getting spiritual ecstasy from Krishna. So, on that happy note, let's go ahead. Mahabhutanya ahankaro buriravyaktamevacha indriyani dashaikam cha panchatendriya gocharaha ichidresha sukham dukham sanghatas chetanadritahi etakshetram samasena Savikara mudaritam, is that word, vikara, the transformations. Mahabhutani, the great elements, Ahankara, false ego, buddhi, intelligence, avyaktam, the unmanifest, the aver, certainly, cha, also, indriyani, the senses, dasha, ikam, 11, cha, also, pancha, 5, cha, also, indriya, gochanaha, the objects of the senses, icha, desire, dvesha, hatred, sukham, happiness, dukham, distress, sankhataha, the aggregate, chaitanya, living symptoms, vrittahi, conviction, etad, all this, chaitram, the field of activity, samasena, in summary, salvikaram, with interactions or transformations, udaritam, exemplified. So let me ask some questions about this. This is a very interesting verse. Who knows which one of the Vedic paths is being described pretty much, not completely, in this particular verse? Which one of the six darshans is being described? Not Adi Purusha. Any volunteers? Oh, Radha Padma again. Okay, which one of the six darshans is being described? Take yourself off mute.
Mahakrishna Gurudev, Shankya? Shanka?
Shankya, yeah. Which means the count, which is interesting. And, okay. Let me ask another person a question right here. Put you back on mute. I'll lower your hand. Okay, Indriyani, Dasha, Ekam. Oh my God. So, Indriyani, Dasha, Ekam. So, what are the 11 senses? This is going to be a complicated one because I didn't mention it before. Rishikesh. Okay, you're going to unmute yourself.
Hare Krishna Gurudev, it's 5 working organs, 5 knowledge acquiring organs, and mind.
Wow, fantastic. So, yes, there's the 5 perceptive senses and the 5 active senses. Can you name the 5 perceptive senses and the 5 active senses, Rishikesh?
The eyes, eyes, ears, nose, taste, and skin is touch. And the working organs are legs, hands, belly, genitals.
Well, the genitals.
I think I must have missed some.
Genitals, and no, belly is not one of the working organs anyway.
Okay. I think it's hand, legs, and then.
Well, you got the genitals and the anus.
Oh, anus, yes, yeah. That's.
Yeah, I mean, it's natural. I'd want to forget them too. Okay, very nice. And let's ask someone else some questions here. Mute and lower your hand. Okay. Lower your hand. Okay. All right. Who knows what the objects of the senses are? Raise your hand. This is really pretty easy. What are the objects of the senses? Oh my God. Nobody knows. Okay, I'll give you a hint. Form. Okay. Let me, okay, Radha Padma, let her answer again. Okay, what are the objects of?
It's from the senses that we acquire and perceive, that is sense, smell, touch, sound, and form, what we see.
Yeah, form is what we see. You know, the touch, the smell.
Smell, the taste, form, touch, and sound.
Did you say smell too, or? Yes, I think.
Yes, good.
Okay, so those are the objects of the senses. Very good. Thank you. Okay, we have some. That's not it. Okay, let's go ahead, so we don't go too slow. desire, hatred. Okay, translation. The five great elements. Oh, I forgot to ask that question. I knew I forgot it. What are the five great elements? Sometimes called Panchamahabhuta. Radhapama, you're answering all the questions. Should we get someone else? Anyone else knows what the five great elements are? Someone volunteer. So Mook, you're also answering all the questions. Let's do Arjuna. Okay, you can unmute yourself now.
Ether, air, fire, water, and earth?
That's right. That's called the Panchamahabhuta. Earth, water, fire, air, and ether. You said it in the opposite order, but excuse me, just as good. Okay, thank you very much. And let's go ahead. So these different elements, this is the five great elements, false ego. I think you all know what false ego is. False ego is the I and mine conception. Intelligence is the form direction of the super soul, with the super soul is giving you intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness according to your desire. Unmanifested, that's like the pradana. The 10 senses in the mind, which we already described, is five sense objects. Desire, I think you all know what that is. Hatred, happiness, distress. These are dualities of this material world, the aggregate, the all together, the life symptoms, and convictions. These are really what your desires are. All these are considered in summary to be the field of activities and its interactions. So from the authoritative statements of the great sages, the Vedic hymns and the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra, the components of this world can be understood as follows. First, there are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. That's Panchamahabhuta. These are the five great elements, Mahabhuta. Pancha means five. Then there are false ego, intelligence, and the unmanifest stage of the three modes of material nature, sometimes called pradana. Then there are five senses for acquiring knowledge, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin, and five working senses, voice, legs, hands, anus, and genitals. Then above the senses, there is the mind, which is within, and which can be called the sense within. Therefore, including the mind, there are 11 senses altogether. We already covered that. Then there are five objects of the senses, smell, taste, form, touch, and sound. Now, the aggregate of these 24 elements is called the field of activities. This is actually Sankhya, which is taught. Sankhya is taught by, all right, this is a question. Who is the personality incarnation of God who teaches Sankhya Yoga? It's a $64,000 question. Someone raise your hand. Nalini Khan. Okay.
Who? Hare Krishna Gurudev, Dandavat Pranam. Lord Kapila Dev.
Lord Kapila Dev. Fantastic. Thank you for your question, for your answer. All right. Very nice. If one makes an analytical study of these 24 subjects, then he can very well understand the field of activity. Then there are desire, hatred, happiness, and distress, which are interactions, representations of the five great elements of the gross body. This is interesting. So these feelings we have, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, are the interactions which represent the five great elements of the gross body. Five great elements are earth, water, fire, air, and ether. The living symptoms represented by consciousness, conviction, are manifestations of the subtle body, mind, ego, and intelligence. Now, I'm not going to test you on this. The living symptoms represented by consciousness and conviction. Conviction means like what you are convinced of. You know, what you have faith in. As Krishna says in the Gita later on, everybody acts according to faith. You can't do anything without having faith. I have to have faith that by drinking water, I'm not going to get poisoned. You know, you have some faith just to live in this material world, and that's called conviction. They're manifestations of the subtle body, mind, ego, intelligence. These subtle elements are included within the field of activities. Now, don't worry, you don't have to remember all this to go back to God. You can still go back to Godhead by chanting Hare Krishna. The five great elements That means Panchamahabhuta are a gross representation of the false ego. Gross means something that you can touch, feel, smell, like that. Now you may say, I can't touch, you know, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. You said, I can't touch ether. Yes, you can. You can measure ether. Ether means space. So you can take a measuring rod, which we call a ruler, and you can measure the dimensions of space. So these are gross representations, whereas mind, intelligence, and false ego, you can't really measure with your mundane analytical tools. So they're a gross representation of the false ego, which in turn represents the primal stage of false ego, technically called the materialistic conception, or tamaso buddhi, intelligence and ignorance. In other words, if we identify with this Panchamahabhuta, which we are generally identifying with, like someone asks you who you are, I'm a man, a woman, or American, or whatever, white or black, this is actually tamaso buddhi, because we're identifying with these five gross elements, isn't it? You know, if you say American, that's due to the gross elements. It's not due to the mind, intelligence, false ego. So anyway, this further represents the unmanifest stage of the three modes of material nature. The unmanifest modes of material nature are called pradana, which is what I said before. Pradana is the unmanifest stage of the three modes of material nature. So ignorance represents the unmanifest modes of nature, which are called the pradana, because the pradana doesn't move. If someone is in ignorance or something is in complete ignorance, it doesn't move. Let's say if you were in complete ignorance, let's say you got drunk and you're waking up with a hangover, you're not waking up, then you're not active. So it's similar to the pradana. So it's a metaphorical comparison right here. So one who desires to know the 24 elements in detail along with their interactions should study the philosophy in more detail. In Bhagavad Gita, summary only is given. If you're really interested in this, study Sankhya philosophy. And then to practice Sankhya philosophy, which is interesting, as I mentioned before, these six darshans, these six Vedic paths are divided in groups of two. So Sankhya is accompanied by yoga. So if you're really interested in this whole analysis, you also have to learn yoga. Now, yoga means yam, niyam, avoiding practices that are counterproductive to yoga and doing positive things like going to a secluded place like the Himalayas, apart from all social interaction, sitting in a particular posture, breathing, offering the ingoing breath to the outgoing breath and the outgoing breath to the ingoing breath. And don't ask me, I never did it. And then withdrawing the mind from the external world, and ultimately samadhi being absorbed. That's, how do you know, it's an interesting point. How do you know if someone's really doing that when they're sitting down and not sleeping? Because they're sitting up straight. I was just observing someone who apparently was meditating in that particular way, and they were all slumped over like that. If someone is slumped over, you understand they're not dealing with the kundalini, the energy centers in the spine properly. And they're not performing yoga. They're doing something called nidra yoga. Nidra yoga means, nidra means sleep, sleeping yoga. Anyway, the body is the representation of all these factors, and there are changes in the body, which are six in number. This is how you can say, observe or delineate who is a living entity or what is a living entity. The body is born. We popped out of our mother's womb. It grows. It stays. It produces byproducts. Byproducts means, unless one's a sannyasi, means you got children. Or if you're an amoeba, byproducts means you split off. You got two amoebas. A chip off the old amoeba, a chip off the old block, as they say. I mean, different living entities perform this particular activity of manifesting byproducts in different ways. There are different ways. I mean, some living entities, like marsupials, for example, let's say a kangaroo, they're born from their mother and then they have to hop back into the pouch to fully develop before they can actually exist in the external world. It's interesting. So anyway, but these are the six changes: birth, growth, sustenance, you know, or remaining the same. And then byproducts, diminishing, and hasta la vista, which means death or finished. So last stage, it vanishes. Therefore, the field is a non-permanent material thing. So this field of activities, I mean, all this whole discussion is just to prove to us this whole field of activities, everything we're so proud of, everything we identify with, everything, the senses, the sense objects, the ego, the false ego, the intelligence, it's all temporary. It's, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the whole show is only temporary, or Shakespeare said, life's a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more. So the whole thing's temporary. That's the point. And as we know, Krishna says in the Gita, what did he say? Nasato vijite bhavo, nabhavo vijite, mabha, nabhavo vijite sataha ubayor api drishto antast, twanyas tatva darshavihi. That someone who is a sage, darshavihi, someone who sees the truth, understands that temporary things are not real in an ultimate sense. They may exist, but only temporarily. Like a soap bubble exists, but only temporarily. It is not, I mean, who would dedicate their whole lives to a soap bubble? But we are doing that. Our life goes on perhaps for 100 years, and we're dedicating our life to these things, building things, buying houses. Just like Prabhupada said, some man may put his whole life energy into building the big skyscraper, and then he dies. Then he may become a rat in the same skyscraper because he's so attached to it. However, just one final sentence. However, the Kshetradhyaya, the knower of the field, its proprietor, is different. So we will end there. It's a little different type of class today with the questions. And we will take questions about these points or any points you want to make. And then later on, we'll talk about Radhastami. So let me take everybody off of mute, or forcible mute, so you can take yourselves off of mute. Okay, who has a question? Radha, Padma, okay. Oh, I'll let Arjun ask a question since I hardly ever see him.
I'm just in the middle of changing a light fitting, but anyway, I can listen and ask. A lot of atheist activists criticize religion because we treat faith as if it's a virtue. So like you're giving this whole description of the elements and the creation and all this stuff, and we can't empirically verify it. And of course, one of the reasons why they're concerned about faith being a virtue is because then you can get anybody to believe anything, which can have dangerous results. So do you have any comments on that?
Well, I mean, they have faith in so many things that are non-verifiable, don't they? I mean, just ask them a question about ethics, for example. Do you believe that it is wrong to throw children off of a bridge?
Yeah.
You know, ask them that. And if they say, well, nothing wrong with it, then you say you belong in a mental institution. So so they have faith in certain moral constructs or ethical constructs that have no empirical verification, right?
Yeah.
But we have a method of non-empirical verification. You know, and they can't even verify their non-empirical moral principles, where we can actually verify utilizing non-empirical means, which is called consciousness, to verify our faith. And how do we do that? We chant Hare Krishna. If we chant Hare Krishna, what does Krishna say in the Gita, 9th chapter? Does anyone know what Krishna says in the 9th chapter about direct experience? Well, let me ask you all. What verse does Krishna talk about direct realization or direct perception by realization? Does anyone, this is a $64,000 question. I'm not going to give you the money. You'll have to ask Krishna for it. So does anyone know the verse?
9.2, Maharaj, 9.2. Yeah.
That's right.
Raja Vidya Raja Gunyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Prateksha Vagamam Dharayamam Susukham Kartam Avayayam.
That's very good. And now you can, I should allow you to be seen. So now you can read the translation.
This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed.
Okay, so the word in this particular verse that's used is prachaksha. Aksha means to see, you know, direct perception. So we can prove, I mean, at least I have incontrovertible proof personally of the existence of Krishna, the existence of the soul, the blissfulness of Krishna consciousness, the reality of the spiritual world. I proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt.
You know what they say in reply to that?
What?
They
say, I must be an illusion.
Yeah, it's just the brain producing sensations which you're attributing to your theology.
Okay. All right, then I will challenge you that we will take anybody who is devoid of a particular belief in what I'm talking about, but not against it, not an offensive person, and bring them to the Krishna Conscious Movement for 2 or 3 years. They don't have to believe in it. And then they will experience it without any sort of indoctrination. I mean, I experienced that too. When I first heard the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, this is before I read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. I had read a previous version of the Bhagavad Gita, the Krishna Isherwood or something like that, version of the Bhagavad Gita. I heard Prabhupada chanting on the radio. And my consciousness changed without any indoctrination, without anybody telling me who Krishna was. It changed. So we can make a test. Okay, so scientists, in science, we talk about controlled experiments. So let's make a test. Take two people who are basically not atheists, but agnostics. Or take 200 people. And half of them, you just expose to chanting what should they chant? Some nonsense thing. Half of them exposed to chanting is some nonsense thing that people can chant. Anyway, they can chant their name. They chant their 16 rounds of their name every day. Joe. Sorry, Joe. I'll let me pick another name. It's a mundane name. So, Bill. All right. That's a mundane name. Because there's a devotee listening whose name is Joe. Anyway, so Bill. Or New Zealand. 16 rounds of New Zealand on it. Those of you from New Zealand, on your beads. And half of the group will chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. Make it a controlled experiment. Don't tell, give anyone any philosophy. Don't tell, you know, it's called a blind controlled experiment. Don't tell each group who's who or what, or don't let the double blind, don't let the professor who's examining them know which group is doing what when he actually examines them and see. So do a test and you'll see. So that's a very objective thing using consciousness. I mean, we've had experiments, here's a practical experiment, it's not like a controlled experiment, of people coming, members of the government, coming to investigate the Krishna consciousness movement because they thought the Krishna consciousness movement was some subversive religious movement, a subversive political movement. So they would come in disguise and make believe they were devotees. And then 6 months later, they admit that they'd come in disguise, making believe they were devotees, but now they feel like devotees and they want to join and chant Hare Krishna and become devotees. So we have so much practical experience of this. Then no one indoctrinates. And that's practical experience. It's not a controlled experiment. But you have to use the parameters of consciousness to judge something transcendental. You can't judge it, something transcendental, utilizing your empirical instruments. So anyway, I have faith in Krishna. I've experienced Krishna and tough. You're going to just rot in this material world because of your atheism. Not you, Arjuna. Anyway, we can conduct an experiment and see. Experiment in consciousness. Or you individually can one day, you know, go to the temple. Of course, you can't go to the temple now because of the coronavirus. You can go and chant Hare Krishna and see how you feel. And then we'll send you to a disco at night to dance with everybody else. And then we'll examine how happy and what your level of consciousness is like afterwards. Anyway. So anyone else have a question? Pratyakshava gamam dharmyam shushukam kartamabhyam. In other words, it's not indoctrination. I've had so much experience in reaching out to people, getting people to chant who had absolutely no belief in Krishna, and then Krishna manifests in their hearts, not because I preached to them or indoctrinated them. Actually, I don't generally indoctrinate people or force the philosophy down their throats. I say, just chant and try this and see how you feel. And it works. Okay. One other question from another person.
Oh, can I? Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Joe. You called and I appeared.
Yeah, I was calling your name. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that your name was mundane or anything like that.
No, it's definitely mundane. thank you for another wonderful class. In my reading, I've seen reference to the modes of goodness and the modes of passion, like in the plural. Is there more than one mode of goodness and more than one mode of passion, or is that a reference to them interacting between them?
Yeah, there's a reference to them interacting. There's only one mode of goodness, one mode of passion.
That's what I thought.
One mode of ignorance. And Prabhupada talks about how when you have different permutations, 3 × 3 × 3 × 3, you can get a very large number, ultimately 8,400,000, and ultimately even more variety. Just like you have 3 basic colors, if you know how a TV or a computer monitor produces colors, it's not that it has all the colors in it, but it basically has 3 colors. Sometimes it has 4 colors. That's a different thing. But that's, you know, sometimes it has white also, or black or silly. So a monitor may have 3 colors, just to say 3 colors. And utilizing those 3 colors, you can produce the whole spectrum of colors. If you see a color chart, you'll understand what I mean. So utilizing the 3 modes of nature, we can produce any type of consciousness, any type of body, any type of desire can all be produced due to a certain combination of the three modes of material nature.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Just one quick question. That forum on the Vaishnav, the woman in ISKCON discussion, whereabouts is that? I was looking for that and I couldn't find it.
It's Vaishnav. Let me pick it up here. It's on Facebook.
It is on Facebook.
Facebook. It's called ISKCON Vaishnavi Ministry. Let me just type it out for you so you can all see it.
Thank
you. Did you happen to see the discussion on the internet?
No.
I put it on my Facebook page, and also I'll probably put it on YouTube also. And it's available on the ISKCON Vaishnavi Ministry Facebook page.
Facebook page. I'm probably the only person in the world not on Facebook. That's probably why.
How unfortunate. My condolences. Anyway, so they don't show a web page, just a
just on the Facebook. Okay, I'll check Facebook it out.
ISKCON Vaishnavi Ministry. I will try tonight to post the discussion on my YouTube channel, which is Veer Krishna Goswami YouTube channel. So if you want to look at it on YouTube. It was quite well received. I mean, I received a lot of positive feedback on my comments.
Yeah, wonderful. I'll check it out. Thank you, Maharaj.
Some of the other devotees saw it. And there's a book. You know, is there a website here? Hold on. No, I don't see a website. There's a book called The Emergence of Women's Voices in ISKCON. I highly recommend that book. It's available on that Facebook page for free. For download. And the devotees who I had this conversation with, I've known them for years. I mean, they're all old friends of mine. And even the moderators, I worked with her for many, many years too. So we're old Prabhupada disciples, very old. too old for comfort. Okay.
So I think. Thank you, Maharaj.
I think that's it. Let me make an announcement about tomorrow night's program or tomorrow morning's program for those of you in New Zealand, Australia, whatever. Tomorrow night's program in this same time, same station, will be a Radhastami program because here it's going to be Radhastami. And we're going to have the talk by myself. Then after that, there's going to be an Abhishek. And Abhishek of Srimati Radharani. All our programs right now are online because we're on lockdown here. And then after that, there's going to be a dance by the best dancer in the world. Is she online? Champaka's online? I don't see her. No. Anyway, Champakalata is going to be doing a dance or two or three dances along with her associates. No, I don't see her. Three dances. She's going to be doing three dances. And after that, there'll be an arti. And then to satisfy your anamoya, there'll be virtual prasadam for everybody. We can just put on the internet the Didi plate so you can see what Krishna ate and suffer. And oh no, and enjoy. So that'll be tomorrow. And then And so then the Radhastami day in New Zealand, Australia, and Fiji, that night. Tomorrow night here at this time will be Radhastami Day also in New Zealand, Australia, and Fiji. Okay. As strange as that may seem. So you're welcome to watch that whole program for your morning program. Because at 5 o'clock in the evening program will be 7 o'clock in the morning of Radhastami in Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji. I mean, not now Australia only. at 9 o'clock in the morning in Fiji and New Zealand. Got that? And our evening program, which is, our morning program for us, which is the day after Radhasthami, but for you in Australia and New Zealand and Fiji is the night of Radhasthami. We will be having initiations that'll be for people in Australia, New Zealand, and in the United States. And that time of that, it's your Radhasthami on the 26th in Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji, will be 7 o'clock in the evening, Australia time, and 9 o'clock in the evening, New Zealand time. And so for those of you who will be taking initiation, I think, you know, Krishna Kanta is taking second initiation, please have, the only paraphernalia you have to have is, you know, obviously dhoti, sari, tilak, and everything like that, but also an Achman cup, because you'll be participating on an online, virtual, not virtual for us, but virtual for all of you, a virtual fire sacrifice. So you're going to be purifying your hands, chanting the mantras, and meditating on throwing the grains into the fire and getting your... Those in Australia, those in New Zealand have already gotten their japa beads. Krishna Chandra has the japa beads. Hopefully tomorrow he'll get them. They're at FedEx, which is right near him. They're going to be delivered to him. And those in Australia, one person already has their beads. Another person will get them after the fire sacrifice. And those who are here will get their beads here. Anyway, it'll be interesting. I don't know how it's going to work out, but it's going to be interesting whatever happens. So that's going to be not 5 o'clock, not 5 o'clock 24 hours from now, but that's going to be 5 o'clock in the evening or morning your time. Anyway, sounds confusing. I will try to post it. So I will try to post it in writing to the WhatsApp notification group. And actually, I will try to post it also on my Facebook page, all the timing, so everybody can see what time it is for them. And if you're taking initiation, you'll be contacted separately. Okay? Okay, it should be interesting. As you can see, it's a little confusing, but it's going to be interesting. Okay, all glorious to his divine grace. We got about 11 or 12 people here who are going to be sitting around the fire. So, and also, maybe you should keep a banana handy. You're taking initiation in your own countries, keep a banana in your hand. And I guess you just meditate on throwing it in the fire at the end. Okay, all glorious to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Arrivo.